This morning, please listen to these words from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them." But he went on and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Friends, leprosy is one of the most common and feared diseases in the ancient world, in Jesus' day. It drove you away from people. If you were nearing people, you were told to stay 50 paces away so that you wouldn't transmit your illness to them. And if you had to go in the midst of a group or a crowd or on a street to get somewhere, you would have to yell out, "Unclean," and warn people that you were coming and that you were dangerous to them. Socially, you were a stigma, a blight on the society. And if you had any of these other diseases, there's 72 different skin diseases that counted as leprosy. You had to be just all treated the same. You had to keep your distance from people. And as Dr. Brené Brown said in the video, it's easy to have sympathy, really, for those who are in pain. It's easy to listen to what they're saying, but never to get close. Because if you leaned into their pain, if you really got close, you would become contagious as well. And so imagine how lonely and painful leprosy is. It's physically disconnected from everyone. Physical and emotional pain. And in many cases, you're incurable. Ancient historian Josephus said that leprosy was in no way differing than that of a corpse. You might as well be dead, is what you're told if you have leprosy. Leprosy is contagious. It drives people away from you. It drives you into separate places. Your family, your friends, and strangers are all kept separate. What stigma is driving you away today from community? What's keeping you away from others? Is it illness? The pain of letting people know what's really going on in your life? Is it a social stigma? Is it the way you dress or the way others dress or look? Or is it just something as simple as busyness that keeps you from connecting with others? Today, loneliness is the new contagion. Loneliness is just as contagious as the common cold, says most medical professionals. It's the new health epidemic of our day. Notwithstanding the impact on your quality of life or life satisfaction, loneliness has the equivalent risk factor of smoking 15 cigarettes a day, shortening one's lifespan by 8 years. Dr. Charlotte S. Yeh, contributor of Harvard Medical School's blog online, shared this story. A few years ago, when she was the attending emergency physician working in the emergency department, the senior medical resident asked her if she could have permission to discharge an older man. The resident was convinced that the patient was a malingerer. Having been seen multiple times in the last week, the medical clinic for shortness of breath, and after running multiple tests and scans and other things, came back as perfectly normal. Everything was fine, is what the test said. But he continued to come back to the emergency room multiple times. And so as the medical resident asked what to do, she said, "Wait, let me come along with you. There must be a reason he keeps coming back." And so as they entered the room, she looked up and saw an old man in the corner, shrunken, with no animation. And he looked forlorn, and she asked him, "Are you sad?" And he burst into tears, and he began to say that his partner of 20 years had recently died, and he was devastated. His real condition was not shortness of breath, not crying wolf, and certainly not a malingerer. He was pure and simple, lonely. The medical resident then spoke to the doctor later and admitted that he learned something powerful that day. That the pain of loss can be as profound as not breathing. And sometimes the symptoms come not from the body, but as a cry deep from the soul. And so as this man approaches Jesus, he breaks every social convention, every norm as he walks up to him. His pain is real. His pain is deep. He is alone. His soul is crying out for help. And Jesus does something that's quite shocking. If you read some of the other Gospels, in Matthew 8:8, Jesus, all he does when he meets a centurion, he says, Jesus, just heal my servant. You don't even have to come and visit my house. Just say the words and I know he'll be healed. Just speak. You have that power. If we see Jesus stop the storm with his voice, Jesus simply has to speak. But Jesus does something a little bit more extreme. He reaches out. He breaks into the bubble of isolation that this man is in and he touches him. And the expectation in this moment would be that Jesus would become unclean, that he would have what the man had. But the opposite is true. Jesus' holiness is contagious. The leper becomes clean. Jesus' words may have made the man clean, but his touch communicated a far greater value and connection. The touch is just as much part of the healing as the words, be clean. And then the story takes this interesting turn. Following the sequence, Jesus strictly, sternly tells him, don't tell anybody about what just happened, but go to the priest and perform the prescribed rituals and rejoin the community. But the man has none of this, and he begins to tell everyone about what Jesus has done for him. And so now that Jesus can't enter into a town, it says. Was the leper disobedient? I mean, it's a good thing to tell people about Jesus, right? And we can appreciate the leper's enthusiasm. I have a little bit of a big mouth from time to time, so I'm sure I would be going, hey guys, guess what this guy named Jesus did? It's pretty amazing. But what happens here that we must remember is that Jesus asked him to do something and he disobeyed Jesus. He did exactly what Jesus told him not to do. So why is this in part of the story? Why is this recorded for us? I think Jesus doesn't just want us to seek miracles, what he can do for us. Jesus wants people to come to him for him. Jesus knew that people would misunderstand his miracles. They would try to use these miracles for their own perceived power or control, not for God's kingdom. But Jesus wants us, and he wants the leper to be with him. More than miracles, Jesus wants us to enter into relationship. And so as a result, Jesus has relieved the leper of his burden, but in broadcasting the news, the leper imposes a burden on Jesus, for he could no longer enter into a town, but he had to stay outside in the lonely and in the desolate places. In Mark chapter 1, we see the heart of the gospel, that Jesus takes the leper's place. He takes the burden and makes it his own. And this is exactly what we see on the cross, that Jesus substitutes our guilt for his righteousness. He substitutes our sin for his holiness. And Jesus bears the burden so that the leper could re-enter into day-to-day life. In the movie Moneyball, Brad Pitt plays this character named Billy Bean, real-life guy, not just a character. He's the general manager of the Oakland A's baseball team. And the Oakland A's had a great run one season, but the following season they were losing their 3-star players to the big markets. They couldn't afford to payroll these players. And so he asks his managers what they can do about this problem. And his staff, what do? This highly well-trained, well-paid, experienced, great baseball minds do. They use the same thinking, the same approach, the same strategy that they've always used, which is not working. The Oakland A's are in a state of constant chaos because they are losing their best talent year after year, and they were stuck. In a pivotal scene, Billy Bean confronts one of his staff that is refusing to think and act differently. And he tells him, adapt or die. Adapt or die. Just as much today as in Jesus' own day, our society, our culture, and people are stuck in systems. They're stuck doing things the way they've always been doing them. And as a result, we do again what we've always done before. Jesus is asking us to change how we approach people. And here we see Jesus think and act differently. As he sees the leper approach him, he doesn't run away, he doesn't stand back, he doesn't recoil at them. He embraces them. He embraces him. The invitation to follow Jesus includes empathy and connection. He reaches out, embraces the mess, the chaos, the issues that are right in front of him. And he goes one step further and he invites this man to follow him. As Dallas Willard masterfully explains, I am learning from Jesus to live my life as he would live my life if I were him. I'm learning to live my life if Jesus were I. We're all called to follow Jesus. We're all called to be followers and invited in to do this ministry like Jesus does, to embrace those around us. We are to be with people. Teddy Roosevelt famously said, the people are not for the Constitution. The Constitution is for the people. In the same way, we could say of the gospel that the people are not for the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is for the people. To be changed and to change the world, and the gospel enables us to be empathetic in ways that we didn't think we could be, to be with and for people. Friends, frankly put, Jesus is contagious. He holds us together into community. He's empathetic with our pains. He takes our loneliness and failures, and he goes beyond words and enters into our grief and our loneliness and our rejection. Friends, who among you is crying out? Who are you staying 50 paces away from? Or who is staying 50 paces away from you? The invitation today is to take a risk and to get messy with others, with the joys and the pains of life. As John read for us earlier, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we esteemed him not, smitten by God and afflicted. Jesus moves to the lonely and to the desolate places. Mark begins the story with Jesus on the inside and the leper on the outside. And at the end of the story, he is an outside and lonely places. Jesus and the leper have traded places. Friends, this is our story. This is the adventure that we're being called into. And we're being challenged to rethink how we are with people. And how we interact with those around us. We're all called to be ministers of the gospel. And today we have a good example of that is following the sermon, we're going to commission four new Stephen ministers. One of the explanations of what a Stephen minister does is that they meet with a person experiencing a life crisis. They meet with this person on a weekly basis to listen, to care, encourage, and provide emotional and spiritual support. And the caring relationship lasts as long as that person needs. It's a safe place. It's a safe relationship. And if you're looking for a Stephen minister, let us know. We'll keep it confidential. But friends, this is a picture of what we're all called to. We're all called to be spiritual and emotional encouragers. We're all called to walk with people in whatever mess they're in. Friends, this is the story that we get to be part of. Amen.